California, it's You Can't Make It Up, show number 125 and our first show of 2011.
Are we there already? What happened in the last 2 weeks?
He cries from the back seat. Are we there yet?
Yeah. You know, I communicated to some friends of mine that, listen, you know, I said, you know, we're coming back this week. We've been off for a couple of weeks. And the typical reaction was, oh, you were off? You didn't know?
It doesn't bode well for our ratings, does it?
Really?
Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. We want you to get a free audiobook download at audibletrial.com/2kens. You've got over 85,000 titles to choose from. You get a whole 2 weeks to sample to your heart's content, and you can use your iPod, your MP3 player, compatible with 500 devices. audibletrial.com/2kens. We begin our new year the way we ended the last one.
How do we do that?
Skewering one of pop culture's most popular and, for my money, most moronic TV idols. Stop the Presses headline says, Snooki attempts a rebrand.
That's all we need.
Now, in case you haven't seen this, and maybe you have, but you didn't see it with the gossipy goodness that Media Bistro's blog PR Newser served up. Here's how they put this story. Quote, far tougher than a crotch-flashing cartwheel, is renaming oneself at the peak of stardom. Snooki, the sun-roasted runt from MTV's Jersey Shore, told the Daily News she wants to be known by her birth name, Nicole Polizzi, which is, by the way, how the police know her.
Yes, a.k.a.
With her, and the blog continues, with her new legit, quotation marks, boyfriend, less drinking, less sleeping in garbage cans, and more dieting, could it be that Nicole is upping herself for the down market? And they finish the blog by saying, quote, the brawling baller published a novel, issued a necklace to commemorate her giant gerbil ball over New Year's, and it all happened before last week's third season debuted, and I know everybody in the world watched that.
Yeah.
8.5 million people or TVs tuned in. Anyway, the Nicole necklace, the pink sapphire thing, is just $49, so you know it's real. And she and her jewelry partner, Diamond Shark, introduced it with a big Happy Frickin' New Year.
Yeah, that's classy. Stay classy, Snooki.
Yeah, you...
I love that she has a book out.
Yeah.
How many words in that book did she actually write?
Yeah.
Let alone read. Can you get that book on an audio download? Is that part of our special offer?
Run on over to audible.com. You can't make it up. Ontario, Canada's Jim Armstrong doing that Americana thing.
Well, that particular cut actually sounds a little... that particular cut has a little Dylan-esque sound to it back in the day when you could actually understand the words.
Sure does. Sure does. I was just going to say that, although he doesn't mention Dylan.
I know.
He says it's Steve Earle, Bruce Springsteen, Tom Petty. You can check him out. Jim's newest album is called Junction Road, and you're listening to Dollars in His Wallet right now.
Mm-hmm.
Junction Road, where rock meets twang, is the way the tagline rolls.
Yes. Yeah.
At Jim Armstrong, and we want to thank our buddy over at Jersey Joe. Stop it.
Yeah, please.
We know the boys are back.
Yes,
thank you.
I
want to thank Jersey Joe for turning us on to Jim Armstrong. TwoKensComedy.com is where this thing originates. If you're listening somewhere else, somebody pirated it, and we want to get the royalties.
Yes.
Tell us about it. Email us.
Yeah.
Rat on them. Feedback at TwoKensComedy.com. Simon has a home.
Oh.
That black and white tuxedo cat.
Okay.
Simon, just before Christmas, was adopted here in Portland. A couple of really nice people who have a cat and a dog already, and they came over to the shelter and they said, "We want Simon." And Simon said, "Yippee, let me out of this cage."
Yeah, well, that was the gist of it anyway.
We went and visited him right after New Year's. He's doing well. We haven't done this in 3 weeks. Do you remember how?
I have no clue.
Because I'm going to, as they say in TV news, I'm going to throw it to you right now.
Okay.
I understand you've been doing some investigating into...
Yes, I have.
How shall I put this? Our show's origin?
Well, you know, our stock in trade is what? Stupidity.
Mm-hmm.
And you and I spent a lot of time researching, trying to find it. Well, we don't have to look anymore. We now know where it comes from.
Oh, a wellspring. Okay.
Yeah. Somebody actually did a study in a report released by an outfit called Portfolio, which is an online business journal. And what the study does, it actually ranked this country's largest 200 metropolitan areas in terms of brain power or lack of it.
Yeah.
Using data from the U.S. Census Bureau, I'm not sure what the formula was, but they had come up with a ranking from 1 to 100 of intelligence, ranking down to stupidity.
Wait. U.S. Census Bureau provided the data?
Yes.
Okay, so if you answered the door when they knocked,
yes,
you're stupid.
And therefore, you're probably in one of these cities.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not going to go through the whole list. I'm just going to give you the bottom 10, the 10 dumbest cities in America, according to this study. And what I will tell you is that 4 of them are in California. One of them is in the Great Northwest. And the remainder are, guess what part of the country?
The Deep South.
Very good guess, sir. You are correct.
What'd I win?
Well, now let me do this. Now, I want to give myself a little bit of credit for just checking up on the research, because I didn't just take the study at face value. I actually looked up the websites of these cities to see if there was any clues to why they were on this list. Okay, here we go. Number 191, Modesto, California. As you know, home of the Winos, Ernest and Julio Gallo. So that's why they're in there. Number 192, Fort Smith, Arkansas. Home of, and this is on their website, the first bordello ever placed on the National Register of Historic Places.
Well, that's, yeah, got to be recognized for something, I suppose.
Yep. Well, number 193, Hickory, North Carolina. Home of the second oldest art museum in the state. This is just in. North Carolina has 2 art museums.
Who knew?
Yeah. Number 194, Laredo, Texas, home of a jalapeno festival that has been ranked as one of the U.S.'s top eating festivals, well, however they rank that. Yakima, Washington comes in next. Is that how you say it, Yakima?
I think so.
I know how to say Washington. They are known as the fruit bowl of the nation. No explanation for that. Number 196, Bakersfield, California. I don't know if anything in Bakersfield has a claim to fame, but on their website, there's a big ad in the middle of their official website pushing, "Need sandbags? Call 852-7000 24 hours a day. Come to Bakersfield, get sandbags."
Yeah.
Number 197, Visalia, California. They have this blurb on their history segment of their website. I'm going to quote this because you can't make it up. During the Civil War, many Visalia residents couldn't decide whether Visalia should be on the side of the North or the South. So they had their own mini Civil War on Main Street.
Why not?
Nobody knows the outcome, but apparently it was concluded to everybody's satisfaction, and the town returned to its, quote, normal life.
Visalia, is that second cousin to the Vuvuzela?
There it is, right there. Down to the 3 dumbest cities in America. Here we go. Number 198, Brownsville, Texas.
Oh, yeah.
According to their website, they have 3 prominent bridges, the Brownsville and Matamoros International Bridge, known locally as the Old Bridge, the Gateway International Bridge, known locally as the New Bridge, and Veterans Bridge, known locally as Veterans Bridge. That's on the site. I'm not making it up. Yeah. Number 199, McAllen, Edinburgh, Texas, which apparently has no distinguishing features whatsoever. But here it is. Drum roll, fanfare, whatever. The dumbest city in America. You ready?
I'm ready.
Merced, California.
Where is it?
Merced, California.
Yeah.
Whose native sons include the former bass player for that all-time great rock group that you and I both love, The Tubes.
The Tubes.
You know, their famous hit, Don't Touch Me There.
Yeah. Okay.
Those are, ladies and gentlemen, the dumbest cities in America. Congratulations and Happy New Year.
Yeah. What did they win, Johnny?
And by the way, you know how they always have these top 10 lists at the end of the year? I won't bore you with the whole thing. Guess what city was ranked the drunkest city in America? Take a guess.
Atlanta, Georgia. I don't know.
What do I talk about most? What state?
Oh, Wisconsin.
Okay. What city?
Madison.
No.
Green Bay.
Milwaukee.
Oh, okay. See, for whatever reason, I didn't. You think beer, you think Milwaukee, I suppose.
I would have hoped it would have been clearer than that. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. It went over your head.
We've been off 3 weeks. The brain is still
on. I know. You know, we're still a little out of
Eastern
practice.
Dumb time.
Yeah. Missy was born on
the road in the month. Hi, I'm Rex Fowler.
And I'm Neil Shulman. We are Aztec Two-Step.
And when we're on the road, we always listen to... You can't make it up. He sees them more than his eyes.
Hey, for you guys listening to You Can't Make It Up, Audible is offering a free audiobook download, and you get a 14-day free trial to give you a chance to check out their service.
And they have pretty much anything that you like to read. Now, they got some of my favorite authors and maybe some of yours, Tom Clancy. John Grisham, my all-time favorite.
The Confession.
Yep.
It's his new novel that's out. And 85,000 plus titles to choose from. 14 days to just browse and listen to your heart's content. I have one question, Ken.
Mm-hmm.
Why, and I already know what's in it for me, but why would you choose an audio book as opposed to, you know, sitting there reading?
Well, first of all, I mean, I read a lot anyway when I'm home, but when I'm out, it's kind of hard to read while you're driving or whatever. At least you shouldn't be. So why not stick in an audio book?
Yeah. Millions of people have caught on to this thing. If you commute, if you're waiting at the, you know, all we do is wait these days. To download your free audiobook today, go to audibletrial.com/twokens.
That's audibletrial.com/twokens, the number two.
And then tell them you sent us.
or not.
Or tell them we sent you.
Yeah,
I think that works better that way.
Yeah.
Editorial in the NewYorkTimes.com on my birthday, December 27th. It caught my eye right away because it said, New York City's cab drivers are about to get a new dress code. And I said, what was the old one?
Yeah, that's right. They had a dress code.
No, there actually was an old code, and it earned 42 violations in 14 years. It outlaws, for one thing, the old code for cabbies in New York. It outlawed tube tops. When's the last time you saw a New York cab driver wearing a tube top?
Well, man.
It also said you couldn't wear underwear as outerwear.
Well.
You hear that, Snooki?
Yeah.
And cab and driver need to be clean and neat. Yeah, that happens.
Yeah, sure.
So for most of us, of course, the question is not what the driver's wearing, but whether he or she is taking the right route, charging the right fare, wink, wink.
Yeah.
And driving sanely, we could throw that out. It's New York. Yeah. Also, who cares what the driver's wearing, right? Well, the Taxi Commission is going to vote this month to keep the clean and neat requirement and add a request that cab drivers present a, quote, professional appearance. So, David Yasky, he's the chairman of the city's Taxi and Limo Commission. He was asked to explain what that means. He says, well, we want drivers to be presentable enough to serve as ambassadors for New York City.
That'll be
in trouble if a cabbie's going to be your ambassador. Yeah.
Yes. Let's make cabbies the gateway to New York City.
So a tourist's first impression comes from the back seat of a cab, huh?
Oh, man, there's so many tasteless jokes we can do there.
But so anyway, they held a hearing on the new rule. The driver showed up.
Yeah, all good.
They wanted to know, honestly, this, I don't make this up. Mm-hmm. They wanted to know if they had to wear a tie. After Yasky got up off the floor and wiped the tears of laughter from his eyes, he said, no, you just got to dress for work, taxi work, not Wall Street. Now, this is what he told them.
Okay.
Slacks, jackets, sweaters. He said, an outfit from the upscale casual section at the mall would do nicely. These guys can't find them all.
No.
A leather jacket, he says. But as long as it's not two wise guys.
A lot of them still learning the language. What's a mall?
Yeah. One customer suggested that cabbies wear uniforms and white gloves like they do in Tokyo. Oh, yeah, that's going to happen. Yeah. I got your white glove right here.
If I get into a cab in New York and he's wearing white gloves, I'm hopping out right away.
Will that be cash?
Oh, man.
You can't make bring this
back,
stuff up.
Bring back the tube tops.
Or the tubes.
Yeah, the tubes. Don't touch me there.
Anyway, I'm going to now throw it to you. What do you have?
Well, wait a minute. I've got you can tell we haven't done this for a while.
I haven't done it in a while. Not going anywhere?
Yeah, right.
Taxi?
Yeah. Oh, man. So you remember the classic movie Thelma and Louise, right?
Oh, sure.
Yeah, great movie. A couple of women go on a crime rampage and end up driving off over a cliff into the sunset and all that kind of stuff to their death. Yeah. Well, if they ever do a remake of that, it's not going to star these two women I'm going to tell you about, that's for sure. Their names are Brittany Sykes and Emma Westusing. And here's what they did. They did one thing that Thelma and Louise did. They did rob a bank. We'll give them that. Out in Oregon, a credit union, and they made off with about $1,300. Well, while the teller was handing over the cash and making small talk, unbeknownst to these two idiots, the teller placed a GPS tracking device among the bills that they handed them. Okay.
Well, that's not fair.
Well, you want fair or do you want stupid? You can't have both.
Okay.
So anyway, these two bozettes, they're driving along and they have the cash. Unbeknownst to them, they have the GPS tracking device working, you know, in the bag of cash. So they get home and they take the bag and empty it and they find what they look to appear to them to be a suspicious device. So they're not sure what it is. One of them goes on the computer and Googles something like bank robbery tracking device. I don't know, whatever it is. And they finally figured out that, well, what they had in their hands was some sort of, you know, tracking device.
Ah.
So what does she do? She takes it outside and she hides it under the driver's floor mat in her car.
Nothing.
Well, that'll do the trick.
Yeah. And that's the getaway car, right?
So I don't know this for sure, but I can only imagine that the police didn't need that much time to find them. In fact, I would bet you they could start listening to this show, have enough time to go find these two idiots, bring them back to the station house, and tune back in for our moment of duh at the end of the program.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'm going to see your stupid criminals,
yes.
And I'm going to raise the stakes a little bit.
All right, please do.
Yeah, this was an AP story. Wilmington, Delaware. Police in Delaware say a man broke into a house, got drunk, and couldn't make his way back outside.
Okay.
So he did what you and I would do. He called 911 for help.
Yes, of course.
Newcastle, Delaware police say 44-year-old John Finch was trapped in the home in part because he had broken into it before, back in April. What the homeowner did was he changed the locks so that the key was required even to get back outside because he figured this guy's going to show up again. Well, police say he did.
Yes.
No one was home when Finch broke in again through a rear window. He stayed for a few days. He consumed 3 bottles of gin, 2 bottles of whiskey. Hello, 911?
Yeah.
He tried to leave. He couldn't get out the window, so yeah. And the 911 operator helped him, of course, by sending the cops.
Yeah.
Finch now faces charges of both break-ins. Police say he was admitted to a hospital. He's yet to make a court appearance. Probably can't find his way out of the hospital. But, just call 911. Now, so my thinking is, you know, you're involved in a relationship. You've had, you know, you're an AA member in good standing. And if you miss your next meeting, here's the excuse you use. Honey, I couldn't get out of the house.
Yeah, I just couldn't get
I thought about calling 911.
Honey, you changed the
police escort. And now... little drum roll, that aforementioned moment of duh.
Well, you know what? I mean, this is maybe coincidental. I don't know. But I'll raise your stupid criminal and your 911 call. How's that?
Okay.
And I'll throw in, perhaps, I guess we should call this our first official criminal helpline tip of the week for 2011. which is, if you're going to commit a robbery and you want to throw the police off your tracks, don't, you know, lead them to your tracks. That would be my tip.
Okay.
Because after all, if you combine stupidity with a fake 911 call, what could possibly go wrong? Well, I'll tell you what went wrong. In Orange County, a pair of thieves reported a fake carjacking.
Yeah.
And they did that so they could get away with the robbery in another part of town. So they figured they'd throw the police off their tracks. So,
well, that's brilliant if it works.
Well, it's a good idea. You know, the concept, hey, give them high marks. It's a good idea.
Yeah.
Something in the execution, however. So they call 911. And they claim that a couple had been carjacked at a local supermarket, and the suspects were, you know, as I say, trying to divert the attention away from them. Here's the flaw in their plan. When they call 911 and they talk to the dispatcher and they gave a very detailed, accurate description of the car that was hijacked, the problem is that they gave them a very detailed description of their own car.
Whoops.
Yep. So, again, didn't take police long to find their car, a white Honda Accord, and lock them up. You know.
You're right. The concept would have, you know, but, yeah. It falls apart in the execution.
Stupidity, stupidity. I wonder if they're from Merced.
Number one stupid town in the country.
Or Milwaukee.
Just ask your census taker.
Yeah. Yeah.
On our way out the door, worn out shoes. This is Canada's Jim Armstrong off his Junction Road album, as you know, where rock meets twang.
Yep. Sorry, let's just say it's a good sound when you meet those two genres.
Yeah. We'll see you next time. This is You Can't Make It Up. We try not to. If you ever catch us making it up, you're doing the show next
time. Yeah, right, right. We'll sleep late.
We'll see you next time.
She's got a heart made out of trouble. And the devil's sitting in plain sight. The TV's set to a Christian station, promising salvation inside.
You Can't Make It Up is a Penguin Pods production. Look for us at 2, 2, canscomedy.com.
She's got a heart just like a filling station where folks keep coming back for more. You can catch her dancing on. Stumbling.